I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA free agency begins today at 5 p.m. The Timberwolves and the second apron. You're going to hear a lot about the term the second apron, which is basically another luxury tax line. I'm not going to try to pretend that I can explain all this to you, but we do have somebody who can. Our good friend Chris Hine from the Star Tribune joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, can you please explain to those of us who aren't smart enough to do math what exactly this second apron is and how it affects the Timberwolves as they head into free agency?
I just got an email from a reader who, after me trying to explain it to them, said, can you direct me to any articles that make it any easier to understand? It seems very complicated. And the whole point of my article was to try to explain it as best I could.
Yeah.
So I feel like I failed. So the whole thing is that the NBA has tried to limit teams from kind of compiling super teams, you know, kind of making it very punitive if you want to hold on to a lot of large contracts for a long amount of time, right? So they came up 2 years ago in the collective bargaining agreement with these aprons. There's the first apron and the second apron, and they are set above the luxury tax line. So if you exceed the luxury tax line, you start to enter these different ways in which the NBA restricts your ability to remake and mold your roster. And the Wolves are zooming past the highest one of these, the second apron, because of extensions that are coming on the books for Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, and Karl-Anthony Towns. So essentially, what people need to know for free agency here coming up is the Wolves are going to be restricted from signing any free agent of significant value, and will only be able to sign minimum contract players in free agency, except for their own free agents, which they can use any amount of money they want to sign. So Kyle Anderson, Monte Morris, Jordan McLaughlin, Luka Garza, guys like that, they can use any amount of money they want to sign them, but the salary cap will restrict them from paying anybody any amount of money above the minimum for any other free agent that's out there in the NBA ether. So that's what you need to know as free agency opens today.
For what it's worth, I read your article, and it explained it beautifully. I actually semi-got it, so well done, sir.
Thank you. It took me a long time to really understand it myself, so I was trying my best.
It can be complex, though. I mean, it's amazing in all different sports, all the various caps and everything, and it is not always all that straightforward. So, Chris, here's a question for you. We went into the draft figuring, well, you know, we've got this draft pick, we're excited about that, but, you know, probably not a whole lot of movement, and that all changed very rapidly. But do you expect that same sort of change? Obviously, financially, we're pretty strapped, but what do we look like for free agency? Is there a possibility of anything, any kind of movement there?
No, I think you're pretty much set here. You know, we'll see which of their remaining free agents on the roster they will be able to sign, but I don't anticipate any real significant movement here because, A, the Wolves want to run it back, and they feel like they're very close to winning a championship. So they are trying to run this group back as much as they can. And they use the draft as essentially their lone chance to make a significant impact. That was the one avenue they had that existed kind of outside of the second apron restrictions, where they could trade a 2031 draft pick and a 2030 pick swap to the Spurs and get who they think, and Rob Dillingham, is an impact player. They could not, and that's because they could not go out in free agency and spend the same amount of money and find the same type of impact player. They could only find a minimum contract player. So the draft was their chance to make an impact on the current roster. So that's kind of what you're looking at. You're looking at a team that I think is largely the same as you see it right now. There's not going to be too many significant additions as we enter free agency here. Barring some sort of monumental trade, which we do not see coming right now, all the signs and everything point towards the Wolves running back this roster this coming season, and we'll see where the chips fall, you know, this time next year. But as of right now, I expect the Timberwolves to look largely the same.
So, Chris Hine joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So, Chris, because of that second apron, because of what I was reading about what the Knicks had done this week, sounds like the Knicks were possible for Karl-Anthony Towns, but maybe not anymore with what they did during the draft. Percent chance Karl-Anthony Towns is on this team when we start the season next year? I mean, that now with getting past that second apron, it's got to be kind of a dollar for dollar, which I imagine makes it tough, and does it really even make it worth it? Do you think he'll be back next year?
It's certainly looking like it. And you said it too, like the second apron makes it harder for you to execute trades too. That's, you know, without getting into the specifics, but it makes the salary matching and all these other things that you have to do in trades much harder and much more restrictive when you're a second apron team as opposed to not being one. So all signs are pointing towards that being a realistic possibility. And I think it's the NBA, so you never want to say never, right? Nobody saw the Rudy Gobert trade really coming, you know, down the pike 2 years ago, right? So you never say never, but I think with how Carl performed in the postseason, and especially in that Denver series, yes, he had a bad Western Conference Finals, but they did not get there without Karl-Anthony Towns and the way he played against Denver. You have to tell me, if you want to trade Karl-Anthony Towns, you have to tell me what you're getting back in return, because you can't just trade him just to trade him, because he did help you win playoff games at the end of the day. And he is one of the most efficient big man scorers in the league. So I think the Knicks were obviously always mentioned for him, but like you said, with some of the moves that they've made, getting Mikal Bridges, re-signing OG Anunoby, that seems to be a potential destination for him in the future that is not necessarily going to be a landing spot for him. The other kind of trade that was kind of out there in the ether for him was maybe if the Hawks were maybe interested in taking him for DeJounte Murray, but they made that move this week as well and trading him to the Pelicans. So that was another destination you can kind of tick off the list for a potential Towns trade. So all the signs are pointing towards Karl-Anthony Towns being on this team next season, yes.
Chris, I love what they're building with the Timberwolves, just because of the fact that you look at Jaden McDaniels, 23, Ant's 22, Naz Reid's 24, Dillingham, who they've just drafted, is 19 years old. And I know he's slight of physically and all that. We all understand that. But he's clearly the kind of player that they really wanted, and that's why they made the trade that they did. But it seems like the perfect match to kind of move over from Mike Conley, maybe during the season, at the very end of the season, and Rob Dillingham maybe stepping up. We're going to be a very young, incredible team going forward. And I got to figure everybody's pretty excited about that. What can Rob do to physically to change himself quick enough to be able to be a day-in, day-out sort of player in the NBA?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, obviously you can't do anything about the hype, but you could do something about the strength, right? So, you know, we've seen Jaden McDaniels, even for as lanky as he still is, you know, he's definitely gotten stronger and added to his frame since he's been in the NBA. So you kind of put him on that path when it comes to the weight room and adding a little bit of bulk and things like that. And because he's going to have to stand up on the, not just the offensive end of the floor and not getting bumped off his spots and things like that, but he's got a high hill to climb when it comes to his defensive ability. And that's probably his biggest weakness coming into the NBA right now, is his defensive effort, his defensive smarts, and just the physicality with which he's going to have to play defense at the NBA level here. So that might take some time. You know, we'll see how he develops over the course of the season and kind of being around the team and everything. But offensively, they expect him to contribute really right away here. And a lot of times in the NBA, you know, you always hear GMs say that they are, you know, just going to draft the best player available, regardless of need or roster fit. Well, I think the Timberwolves kind of took, I don't want to say the opposite approach, but one of the best players in their eyes just so happened to fit probably the most glaring need that they have on the roster as well. And that is somebody who could just get a bucket, because that was something they were definitely lacking in the playoffs last year. And if you watch some of his highlights, I think it's hard not to get excited about just what this guy can do off the dribble, playing off the ball. So I think that's important, whether he's got the ball in his hands or not, because Anthony Edwards is going to have the ball in his hands a lot too. So this guy can create and find room to get shots with his quickness, with his handle. And he's a pretty good passer, too, at the end of the day. He's got to cut down his turnovers a little bit, but I think that can come with time. But the shooting is there. The shot creation is there. And I think you have to feel pretty excited about how he might fit into the rotation from day one.
Chris Hine joining us, the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Timberwolves beat writer from the Star Tribune. I have two questions left on my list, Chris. I'll let you decide which one you want to answer. First is, who will score more points in the NBA next year, Bronny James or Pete? But I think we'd probably rather go and talk. Did you say Pete?
No. I think Bronny's still going to have the edge there.
Okay. My real question is, are there, and I can't let you go without asking you, is there any updates on who actually owns the Timberwolves? Where are we in this timeline? What's going, is there, are we any closer to figuring out the actual ownership of this franchise?
No, we're not. Okay. We are still away. We're still waiting for that arbitration process to play out. And, you know, I think that's the next step. And then once we hit that, we should have some news. But right now it's headed to arbitration, and we're just in a holding pattern until then.
Yeah. Well, so they might as well go to the second apron then, because without ownership, you can't figure out what moves and you're going to pay anyway. Chris, thanks for joining us. Great to have you this morning. Have a great 4th of July. Always appreciate your time, buddy.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Chris Hine from the Star Tribune, fantastic job explaining, by the way, the second apron. Probably said and typed the word apron more than he ever thought he'd have to in his sports writing career.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA free agency begins today at 5 p.m. The Timberwolves and the second apron. You're going to hear a lot about the term the second apron, which is basically another luxury tax line. I'm not going to try to pretend that I can explain all this to you, but we do have somebody who can. Our good friend Chris Hine from the Star Tribune joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, can you please explain to those of us who aren't smart enough to do math what exactly this second apron is and how it affects the Timberwolves as they head into free agency?
I just got a email from a reader who, after me trying to explain it to them, said, can you direct me to any articles that make it any easier to understand? So it seems very complicated. And the whole point of my article was to try to explain it as best I could.
Yeah.
So I feel like I failed. So the whole thing is that the NBA has tried to limit teams from kind of compiling super teams, you know, kind of making it very punitive if you want to hold on to a lot of large contracts for a long amount of time, right? So they came up 2 years ago in the collective bargaining agreement with these aprons. There's the first apron and the second apron. And they are set above the luxury tax line. So if you exceed the luxury tax line, you start to enter these different ways in which the NBA restricts your ability to remake and mold your roster. And the Wolves are zooming past the highest one of these, the second apron, because of extensions that are coming on the books for Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, and Karl-Anthony Towns. So, essentially, what people need to know for free agency here coming up is the Wolves are going to be restricted from signing any free agent of significant value, and will only be able to sign minimum contract players in free agency, except for their own free agents, which they can use any amount of money they want to sign. So, Kyle Anderson, Monte Morris, Jordan McLaughlin, Luka Garza, guys like that, they can use any amount of money they want to sign them, but the salary cap will restrict them from paying anybody any amount of money above the minimum for any other free agent that's out there in the NBA ether. So that's what you need to know as free agency opens today.
For what it's worth, I read your article, and it explained it beautifully. I actually semi-got it, so well done, Sam.
Thank you. It took me a long time to really understand it myself, so I was trying my best.
It can be complex, though. I mean, it's amazing in all different sports, all the various caps and everything, and it is not always all that straightforward. So, Chris, here's a question for you. We went into the draft figuring, well, you know, we've got this draft pick. We're excited about that, but, you know, probably not a whole lot of movement, and that all changed very rapidly. But do you expect that same sort of change? Obviously, financially, we're pretty strapped, but what do we look like for free agency? Is there a possibility of anything, any kind of movement there?
No, I think you're pretty much set here. You know, we'll see which of their remaining free agents on the roster they will be able to sign, but I don't anticipate any real significant movement here because, A, the Wolves want to run it back, and they feel like they're very close to winning a championship, so they are trying to run this group back as much as they can. And they use the draft as essentially their lone chance to make a significant impact. That was the one avenue they had that existed kind of outside of the second apron restrictions, where they could trade a 2031 draft pick and a 2030 pick swap to the Spurs and get who they think in Rob Dillingham is an impact player. They could not, and that's because they could not go out in free agency and spend the same amount of money and find the same type of impact player. They could only find a minimum contract player. So the draft was their chance to make an impact on the current roster. So that's kind of what you're looking at. You're looking at a team that I think is largely the same as you see it right now. There's not going to be too many significant additions as we enter free agency here, barring some sort of monumental trade, which we do not see coming right now. All the signs and everything point towards the Wolves running back this roster this coming season, and we'll see where the chips fall, you know, this time next year. But as of right now, I expect the Timberwolves to look largely the same.
So, Chris Hine joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. So, Chris, because of that second apron, because of what I was reading about what the Knicks had done this week, sounds like the Knicks were possible for Karl-Anthony Towns, but maybe not anymore with what they did during the draft. Percent chance Karl-Anthony Towns is on this team when we start the season next year? I mean, that now with getting past that second apron, it's got to be kind of a dollar for dollar, which I imagine makes it tough and doesn't really even make it worth it. Do you think he'll be back next year?
It's certainly looking like it. And you said it too, like the second apron makes it harder for you to execute trades too. That's, you know, without getting into the specifics, but it makes the salary matching and all these other things that you have to do in trades much harder and much more restrictive when you're a second apron team as opposed to not being one. So all signs are pointing towards that being a realistic possibility. And, yeah, you know, I think it's the NBA, so you never want to say never, right? Nobody saw the Rudy Gobert trade really coming, you know, down the pike 2 years ago, right? So you never say never, but I think with how Carl performed in the postseason, and especially that Denver series, yes, he had a bad Western Conference Finals, but they did not get there without Carl Anthony Towns and the way he played against Denver. You have to tell me, if you want to trade Carl Anthony Towns, you have to tell me what you're getting back in return, because you can't just trade him just to trade him, because he did help you win playoff games at the end of the day. And he is one of the most efficient big man scorers in the league. So I think the Knicks were obviously always mentioned for him, but like you said, with some of the moves that they've made, getting Mikal Bridges, re-signing OG Anunoby, that seems to be a potential destination for him in the future that is not necessarily going to be a landing spot for him. The other kind of trade that was kind of out there in the ether for him was maybe if the Hawks were maybe interested in taking him for DeJounte Murray, but they made that move this week as well and trading him to the Pelicans. So that was another destination you can kind of tick off the list for a potential Towns trade. So all the signs are pointing towards Carl Anthony Towns being on this team next season, yes.
Chris, I love what they're building with the Timberwolves, just because of the fact that you look at Jaden McDaniels, 23, Ant's 22, Naz Reid's 24, Dillingham, who they've just drafted, is 19 years old. And I know he's slight of physically and all that. We all understand that. But he's clearly the kind of player that they really wanted, and that's why they made the trade that they did. But it seems like the perfect match to kind of move over from Mike Conley, maybe during the season, at the very end of the season, and Rob Dillingham maybe stepping up. We're going to be a very young, incredible team going forward. And I got to figure everybody's pretty excited about that. What can Rob do to physically to change himself quick enough to be able to be a day-in, day-out sort of player in the NBA?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, obviously you can't do anything about the hype, but you could do something about the strength, right? So, you know, we've seen Jaden McDaniels, even for as lanky as he still is, you know, he's definitely gotten stronger and added to his frame since he's been in the NBA. So you kind of put him on that path when it comes to the weight room and adding a little bit of bulk and things like that. And because he's going to have to stand up on the, not just the offensive end of the floor and not getting bumped off his spots and things like that, but he's got a high hill to climb when it comes to his defensive ability. And that's probably his biggest weakness coming into the NBA right now, is his defensive effort, his defensive smarts, and just the physicality with which he's going to have to play defense at the NBA level here. So that might take some time. You know, we'll see how he develops over the course of the season and kind of being around the team and everything. But offensively, they expect him to contribute really right away here. And a lot of times in the NBA, you know, you always hear GMs say that they are, you know, just going to draft the best player available, regardless of need or roster fit. Well, I think the Timberwolves kind of took, I don't want to say the opposite approach, but one of the best players in their eyes just so happened to fit probably the most glaring need that they have on the roster as well. And that is somebody who could just get a bucket, because that was something they were definitely lacking in the playoffs last year. And if you watch some of his highlights, I think it's hard not to get excited about just what this guy can do off the dribble, playing off the ball. So I think that's important, whether he's got the ball in his hands or not, because Anthony Edwards is going to have the ball in his hands a lot too. So this guy can create and find room to get shots with his quickness, with his handle, and he's a pretty good passer too at the end of the day. He's got to cut down his turnovers a little bit, but I think that can come with time. But the shooting is there, the shot creation is there, and I think you have to feel pretty excited about how he might fit into the rotation from day one.
Chris Hine joining us, the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Timberwolves beat writer from the Star Tribune. I have two questions left on my list, Chris. I'll let you decide which one you want to answer. First is, who will score more points in the NBA next year, Bronny James or Pete? But I think we'd probably rather go and talk. Did you say Pete?
No. I think Bronny's still going to have the edge there.
Okay. My real question is, are there, and I can't let you go without asking you, is there any updates on who actually owns the Timberwolves? Where are we in this timeline? What's going, is there, are we any closer to figuring out the actual ownership of this franchise?
No, we're not.
Okay.
We are still away. We're still waiting for that arbitration process to play out, and you know, I think that's the next step. And then once we hit that, we should have some news. But right now, it's headed to arbitration, and we're just in a holding pattern until then.
Yeah. Well, so they might as well go to the second apron then, because without ownership, you can't figure out what moves and you're going to pay anyway. Chris, thanks for joining us. Great to have you this morning. Have a great 4th of July. Always appreciate your time, buddy.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Chris Hine from the Star Tribune. Fantastic job explaining, by the way, the second apron. Probably said and typed the word apron more than he ever thought he'd have to in his sports writing career.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.